Hello, and hope everyone is doing good this morning here on this Palm Sunday. I was kind of excited when I found out that I had been offered to preach this morning on Palm Sunday, which is something I haven't had a chance to do in a while. Palm Sunday was one of my favorite Sundays as a kid. I grew up Pentecostal. I come from a family that is four generations of Pentecostals. And my brother is actually to this day a Pentecostal bishop. And we celebrate with a lot of music, with a lot of movement, with a lot of shouting and hallelujah kind of worship. And Palm Sunday is this story where Jesus of Nazareth gathers the people, the multitudes that have been following him, and brings them to the city of Jerusalem. And he enters on a donkey, passing through the crowds as they're shouting Hosanna. And that song that Jessamine Raines sang earlier about Hosanna in the highest very much conveys the musicality, the singing, the joy with which Jesus brought his movement into the city of Jerusalem. But from that point, that basic story that Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem on this particular day, bringing with him a crowd of followers, there's been two ways that I've had that story explained to me, and I had trouble figuring out which of them was really the right story. On the one hand, my traditional Pentecostal father and my traditional Pentecostal churches that I had grown up said that the reason Jesus had to enter Jerusalem was because humanity was so sinful that God rightfully was going to send them all to an eternal hell and torment their souls forever because they were unjust and wicked. And Jesus had to die so that a small number of people could turn from that evil and go to heaven and live with God forever. On the other hand, I encountered a very different story in the 1980s. I encountered the story that said Jesus was a movement organizer. Jesus was a figure who was bringing together the people of the poor and oppressed from the area of Galilee, bringing them to the city of Jerusalem to confront the Roman occupation of the city of Jerusalem and the collaboration with that occupation that had been going on by the official leaders of the Jewish people. And in that story, Jesus was killed not because he needed to die for humanity's sins so that God could forgive a few people who could go live in an eternal paradise, some faraway planet called heaven, but rather Jesus came to set in motion a movement for human liberation that is holistic and inclusive. And I had these two stories. I had been raised with one since I was too young to remember when I first heard that story about Jesus dying for my sin so that I wouldn't go to hell. And this other story, which was still new to me, which was still a change, Jesus as a radical liberation movement leader. And so I did the most natural thing. I became an agnostic. I said, I don't know which of these stories is the true story, so I'm just going to live without that story for a while. And so for about 20 years, I stopped going to any church that mentioned Jesus on a regular basis. I found a Quaker meeting that was pretty liberal progressive, and I hung out there because they didn't sing songs and they didn't preach sermons, although occasionally a few people would get up and preach on their own devices. But luckily, most of them were pretty good at keeping it short and simple. And so during those 20 years, I was a father. During those 20 some years, I raised my children. I worked an ordinary job, even though as a Pentecostal preacher's kid and as a Pentecostal grandkid, my grandfather was also a preacher, I'd always felt I'd been called to the ministry. But because I couldn't figure out which of these two stories of Jesus was really the right story of Jesus, somehow I had a suspicion that this first story about Jesus dying for the sins of the world, somehow I thought that was still true. And maybe it's only because I'd heard it so often repeatedly as a young child that I couldn't shake that I don't like that story. So if that's the true story, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. A few years ago, while I was, my children were grown, I was deciding what I was going to do with my life now that I didn't have to spend most of my energy working for a company that was nice. They treated me okay, but it wasn't really my heart's satisfaction. I was not feeling satisfied. In fact, I kept thinking I needed to go into the ministry. And here at this point, I'm in my late 40s, early 50s. And I was taking a course on creative writing at a university. And while writing my life story in this creative writing course, which was one of the assignments, I just sort of had a come to Jesus moment, but it was the second Jesus. The Jesus who was a radical liberation movement organizer. It wasn't the Jesus who died for my sins so that I wouldn't go to heaven, but it was rather I could embrace this radical movement organizer, Jesus. And that image of Jesus has inspired so much of the movements of our world today. In particular, I want to lift up Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's civil rights movement organizing as an example. And I'm fully aware that I'm doing that at the James Reeb Unitarian Universalist Congregation. James Reeb was one of our bravest Unitarian Universalist ministers in the 1960s. And in 1965, he marched with the civil rights movement of Dr. King and was later killed for participating in that movement by white racists. And we honor his memory for participating in a movement for justice that, just like the Pentecostal churches that I had grown up, that movement for civil rights had been inspired by the example of Jesus as a movement organizer. And what does this story mean to us now? That Jesus gathered a crowd and said to them that the will of God is that there be prosperity for all the poor, that there be food to eat for all the hungry, that there be healing and love and acceptance for all who suffer oppression. I would say it's a very relevant story because we recently survived an election in this United States between two candidates who represented very different visions of the United States, although maybe not as different as I would personally like. But what's really troubling about what happened in that election is that this, the people who supported one of the most offensive presidents I can ever remember, and I'm not that young, I'm 58, and I remember some offensive presidents, but this president who I will not name, he who must not be named, was the most offensive and injustice pushing president that, of my experience. And yet, he was able to almost win re-election, and he did so on the backs of people who believed that first story about who Jesus of Nazareth was, that he came to die for your sins so that you wouldn't go to hell, but the majority of humanity is already doomed. They're on the way to hell, and we need to legislate morality and so on. That narrative of Jesus as a sacrifice for human sinfulness is a story that I think needs to be radically revised. And the question is who in these United States, and I can stand up and preach that story, can I do that? And I have to say, yes, I can, and yes, I will. And I realize that Unitarian Universalists, and as a Unitarian Universalist, we embrace, as Heike said, a wide variety of religious sources. And sometimes that can lead us in the direction of a fairly easy pluralism. And when I say easy pluralism, a kind that says, well, there's no right or wrong. It's just, you know, everybody has their opinion. But I think that in matters of justice, we are being called to take a stand. The George Floyd uprisings of last summer lit up the cities of particularly Chicago and particularly Minneapolis, but also our neighbors in Kenosha. There has just been a movement for justice that is almost unprecedented in our history. And it upsets and troubles some people. It's not quite nonviolent enough. It's not quite respectable enough. Jesus took with him a multitude of followers into the city of Jerusalem and confronted the establishment of his day. The Roman governor, Pilate, had marched into the city of Jerusalem carrying the Roman regalia and said, "We are now in charge. We will run this country for our benefit." And at this time, the wealthy, the powerful are trying to run the United States for their benefit. And I believe that we need to remember the lessons of the Galilean uprising, to remember the firm stand for justice that Jesus of Nazareth took and that we can take in our world today. Because after all, as Unitarian Universalists, we inherit a legacy that challenges that first story of Jesus about eternal torment and human sinfulness. We in our history for over two centuries, we have been preaching a different story. And that story is one of inclusive justice and universal love. I dream of a world, and Jesus described a world in which there is no poverty, a world in which there is no hunger, a world in which there is no suffering and oppression. And that is a world that I believe in. How do we get there? That's the hard question. In a certain sense, you and I as individuals can't control it. But by gathering together in collectives, such as a congregation, such as an organized social movement, we can begin to push for this world that Jesus spoke of, in which the hungry are fed and the poor are given what they need for their lives. And this implies no more directly than to folks of African American descent, Black, Indigenous, and people of color in the United States who have never been treated as equal citizens throughout our entire history. And in the end, I want to say that I believe very much that Unitarian Universalists can get beyond a simple, easy pluralism and to root and ground our movement in a call to justice that is expansive and inclusive, and that challenges the narrative that the United States only exists as a way to impose our power and wealth on the rest of the world. We know how the Palm Sunday story ended. Jesus walked into the temple, turned over the tables of the merchants, and began to preach this arriving kingdom of wholeness, of justice, of liberation. And then a few days later, he was executed as a rebel and called the King of the Jews, even though we know that there was, of course, Herod, the King of the Jews, who collaborated with the Romans. And Jesus spoke out against collaboration. Jesus spoke out against simply going along with the rich and the powerful. I believe Unitarian Universalists are uniquely poised within the religious landscape of the United States to make public and to witness to a different way of being religious in the United States, a different way of understanding the religious stories, because we could do a similar reinterpretation of so many religious stories. But the Christian story, the story of Jesus of Nazareth, is a part of our history. Unitarianism, Universalism, when they were founded, were explicitly Christian denominations. The 20th century changed that to a significant degree, and we became much more pluralistic. And I agree that pluralism is an inherently good thing. We do want to welcome atheists, agnostics, humanists, pagans, Buddhists, Muslims, Jewish persons. We want to welcome from all religions. But I also believe that in a country that is dominated by the Christian right, as ours is, you have a special role to play of putting forward a liberating understanding of who Jesus of Nazareth was, and for calling upon people like Dr. King and others who have spoken of this different understanding of Jesus that leads to justice and liberation in our world. I hope you'll join me in a moment of silence here. Just allow yourselves, maybe something I said excited you, maybe something I said offended you, sit with that this moment. Remember that we are part of a global movement. Unitarian Universalists have congregations on every single continent on Earth, except Antarctica. We are not alone. We are not isolated. We can move out. We can join hands with others around us and become one with a movement for liberation that echoes the Galilean uprising and the Palm Sunday movement of Jesus of Nazareth. Thank you so much for allowing me to minister to you today.